And in the other hand, get John chapter 10. And in the other hand, get Matthew chapter 18. Psalm 23, John 10, Matthew 18. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now in John chapter 10, verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are, where am I at? Are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Look down in verse, let's finish that. The hireling, because he is an hireling, careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now look down in verse 25. Jesus answered them and told you, he said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that one sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Let's pray. Father, help us now tonight, or this morning, to preach. We ask that you give us power and liberty. May the word of God be a blessing to our heart and our soul. May it be an encouragement to us. May the Holy Spirit use it to glorify our Savior. We'll thank you. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all gonna have to excuse me, but it is hot up here this morning, so I'm gonna take my coat off. Not as dignified as wearing a coat, but it is a lot cooler. Somebody say amen. Now, I want to bring you a message this morning entitled, The Shepherd and the Sheep. Every shepherd needs sheep. If he doesn't have them, he's not a shepherd. He just wants to be a shepherd. Amen. And the truth is, every sheep needs a shepherd. And I don't know a great deal about sheep. I've read some stuff about them, and how much of that's true and how much is folklore and how much is make-believe, I don't know. But it's my understanding from just about everything I ever read that sheep are just about the dumbest critters on the planet, at least in the sense of safety and security and direction. They don't seem to have a good sense of direction. They'll wander off. They can't find their way back. You take your cat out in the woods and to get rid of him, and most of the time he's sitting on the porch when you get there. They have an incredible sense of direction. Squirrels always amaze me. You catch them, you know, burying acorns and hickory nuts and stuff like that, and they bury them all over the countryside. And then with 6 or 8 inches of snow on top of it, that little critter can go right back where he buried that thing 2, 3, 4 months ago and find it, dig it up, and get himself a nice meal. Got an incredible sense of direction and memory. Understand sheep aren't like that. So sheep need a shepherd to keep them out of trouble. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the shepherd and about his sheep. And I want to use these three passages that we read, and the information that you found therein is where we get our points for today's message. And I pray and I trust that it'll be a help to you and a blessing. If you're saved by God's grace, you ought to be rejoicing that you're his sheep and that he's your shepherd. Amen? Now, let me give you some things here, first of all, about the shepherd. All sheep need a shepherd. It's not something that is optional. Sheep need a shepherd. Without a shepherd, the sheep are going to be scattered. Without a shepherd, the wolves are going to devour the flock. The truth is, whether they like it or not, and generally they like it not, sheep need a shepherd. Of course, the analogy here is that you are a Christian, you're God's child, you're a sheep in God's flock. Jesus Christ is your shepherd. And real sheep don't mind a shepherd. But boy, it seems like Christian sheep sure do. They don't want anybody trying to give them advice or tell them how to live their life or where they can go and where they can't go. They don't want a shepherd. They'd rather wander all over the countryside. They'd rather be scattered. The quickest thing a preacher can do to get himself in trouble is start meddling, you know. Preaching, it's wrong to do this and wrong to do that, and a Christian shouldn't go here, and a Christian shouldn't go there, and folks just get upset about that. And what that is that's resistance to having a shepherd. They all want to cry and sing that same song, I'll do it my way. Amen. Now, the Bible said it's not in man to direct his own steps. Amen. You better let God lead your life. So let me give you some things about the shepherd. Number one, the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows the sheep. They take a flock of sheep, and there might be a 50 or 75 or 100 in it, but the shepherd gets to know each one of them. He usually gives them a name, and he knows what they look like. A shepherd can look at his flock and say, oh, yeah, that's old Lulu, and that's old Curly, and that's old Lazy Bones there, you know. And he's got a name for everyone. He recognizes. You can mix his sheep and somebody else's flock, and they all look just alike to me and you. Amen? But they don't all look alike to the shepherd. The shepherd knows his sheep. I remember going to China for the very first time, and I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of Chinese. Now, you thought they all lived in America because all these Chinese restaurants, but there's a whole bunch more of them over there. I mean, there is a passel of them. The only problem is that when you go over there, so help me, Harry the Hat, every last one of them, and I'm not being ugly, I'm just telling you the way it is, they all look just alike. They do. You ought to go over there sometime. Try. Just go over there and line up about, 10 or 12 million of them and see if you can tell which one's which. They all look just alike. Now, they don't all look just alike to them. Do you know the honest truth is they think we all look just alike? How stupid can they be? Anybody can see we're all different. Amen? Now, God knows his sheep. You may not always recognize God's sheep, but God does. The shepherd knows his sheep. Boy, what a comforting thing that is. If I happen to get with the wrong crowd or in the wrong place, God still knows who I am. Amen. And if you're saved by God's grace, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you've been put into the family of God, if you're a sheep of his flock, God knows you. Amen. And he'll know you no matter where you go, no matter what you get into. God knows his sheep. And if I don't get through quicker, I'm not going to get all this in here. Number two, the shepherd knows his sheep. Number two, the shepherd provides for his sheep. Amen. It is the job of the shepherd to make sure the sheep get where they can get what they need. It is the job of the shepherd to provide for the sheep. Listen, when you get saved, it's the job of God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ to provide you with what you need spiritually. Amen. It's God's job to lead you and guide you and make sure that you get what you need to stay alive and stay on fire, to stay fat and healthy for God. That's the reason that you got some Christians that are in old, cold, dead, dry churches where nothing's going on, nothing's getting taught, nothing is being expected, nobody's getting saved. Listen, God didn't lead you there because you starved to death, and it's God's job to take care of the sheep. I'm sick and tired of folks saying, well, I know our church ain't much, and it's kind of dead. Not this one. This one's on fire. Amen. The pulpit's on fire anyway. But they stay in these little old dead churches all around here and got little old preachers that don't preach anything and don't have any power and they don't win anybody to God and they don't live right. And I mean, I don't know what the point in going is. If it's not going to challenge you, if it's not going to cause you to change your life, if it's not going to cause you to look at yourself, why in the world would you bother to go? Amen? But they stay in these little old churches and they say, well, we're just trying. We're staying because we know we're not getting fed and we know we're not getting anything, but we're going to stay here trying and change it. No, stupid. What you're going to do, I promised I was going to be nice today because we got company. I can't talk like that. I take that back. Erase that off the tape. I didn't say stupid. No, sir. God didn't lead you there. God, the shepherd, leads you where you can get what you need. Amen. And you're not going to change it. You're going to die with it. If there's no food there, if there's no water there, you can't change it. All you can do is die with it. Amen. The thing to do with a dead church is get out of it. I didn't promise not to shout. I just promised to be good. I'm not going to have any fun, but I'm going to be good. Number three. The shepherd not only provides for his sheep, he not only knows his sheep, the shepherd protects his sheep. You know why the shepherd was there? He'd get them down that little old valley, a nice secluded spot where the wind was broken, where there was green grass and green and black water, and here's all them sheep. And you know what follows sheep? Wolves. They like mutton. I show you how stupid wolves are. Amen. I don't know if you ever eat any mutton or not, but it ain't the greatest thing in the world. I'd soon have squirrel. It's better than possum, but it's not as good as squirrel. But sheep like it. Wolves like it, and they will eat the sheep. And so one of the jobs of the shepherd is to protect and look out for and be on guard for the sheep. Amen. Now, the great shepherd up in glory is supposed to look out for us and protect us. And the way he does that is he gives you under-shepherds who are to keep their eyes on the world and keep their eyes on you and make sure that nothing that could ruin you or destroy you is allowed to ever get close to you. Amen. He says, well, I wish our preacher wouldn't preach on this, that, and the other. And listen, It's my job as the under shepherd to make sure that the wolves don't get you. It's my job to stand on the fence and stand guard and keep a lookout. I hate this. I have a fear of heights. And it's my job to look down through the valley and through the sides of the hill and make sure there are not any wolves sneaking around and no pack of wolves can sneak up and attack you from behind. Amen. It's my job to make sure that this church stays intact and does not get it divided by false doctrine and by cults and those kind of things. It's my job. Say, why? Because that's God looking out for the sheep. Not only does the shepherd protect the sheep, the shepherd searches for wandering sheep. Ain't that a blessing? Hallelujah, glory to God. Sheep wanders off, gets lost. He's down in a bog of mud, or gets trapped in a creek, or gets up on a hillside and he can't get down. He's stranded and he's alone and he's forsaken. And he's just sitting there bleating, whining, feeling sorry for himself. Thinks he's lost forever. He's going to perish. There is no hope. Here I am up on the side of this mountain, and I'm scared of heights, and the trail's only that wide, and the little old sheep just standing there afraid to go back and afraid to go forward and just thinks he's going to perish right where he's at. And he looks down through them rocks and down in the valley, and there's movement down there. And that old sheep looks. So help me, Harry the Hat, down in the valley is the shepherd. And he's got that staff in his hand, and the shepherd is marching and looking and calling that sheep by name. Brother Jay. Brother Jay, where are you at? Up on the side of the hill, he's going, bah, bah. That's about all Jay can say. But the shepherds come looking for the wandering sheep. I'm glad if we lose our way, if we get sidetracked, if the devil attacks, if the sheep, the wolves scatter the flock, the shepherd will come looking. He doesn't leave you out there to perish by yourself. Your shepherd loves you and he cares for you, and he'll come where you are, and he'll take any risk. Not only does the shepherd search for the wandering sheep, the shepherd will carry the weakened sheep back to the fold. Oh man, listen, God's people get out there and they get wounded by the world. They lose their testimony. Things get in their life and they're out of fellowship with God and out of church. They're in a mess. They're in a mess. The shepherd not only searches for them, when he finds them, that shepherd will pick that little old sheep up, take it by the back legs and the front legs and lay it across its shoulders. Carry the weakened sheep back to the fold. When you're too weak to get there yourself, when you don't have the strength to get back to God on your own, he's there to lend you a hand. He's there to help. Listen, the shepherd loves the sheep. He cares for the sheep. They're his sheep. They're his livelihood. They're his reason for being. He'll do whatever's necessary to keep the sheep. Amen. Well, if you belong to Jesus Christ, he's going to do whatever's necessary. You get your life messed up. What a shame and what a tragedy that is. That's a pitiful thing. God, hope and help us and pray that it never happens to us. But if it does, be assured the shepherd will not only seek you. If you're too weak to get back, if you've been wounded by the world, if you've fallen into sin and gotten in a trap that you can't get yourself out of, God, the good shepherd, will carry you back to the flock. You don't have to perish in the wilderness. Not only that, the shepherd will never leave the sheep. He never leave the sheep. Never leave the sheep. They sing that song, Never Alone. No, never alone. You know why we sing that? Because when you got saved and got put in God's flock, you're never alone.
No, never alone. He's with you always, even to the end of the world. You say, well, what about this? And what? Listen, he said that he would never leave you, and God is not a liar. Amen. If God said it, it's so. And he said he would never leave thee nor forsake thee, but would be with thee unto the end of the world. And bless God, he will be. He will be. You say, well, you don't know where I've been or what I've done. All I know is you took Jesus with you. If you're saved, you may have embarrassed him, you may have humiliated him, but you were never, and you will never be alone. The shepherd won't leave you. Not only that, there's the life of the shepherd. Did you ever think about this? The shepherd must leave his home for the sheep. Well, you don't sit in your front yard and watch the sheep. You got to take them where the grass is. You got to take them where the water is. The shepherd has to leave home for the sheep. Jesus had to leave glory for the sheep. Amen. He had to come down here and live and die for us. He had to come down here to purchase the flock. He had to come down here to care for the flock. The shepherd has to leave home for the sheep. Not only that, the shepherd lives a lonely life for the sheep. Jesus didn't bring all the armies of heaven, came by himself. Amen. And when the shepherd has a flock of sheep, you don't send a dozen shepherds out to take care of the flock. You send a shepherd out to take care of a flock. So it's a lonely life. And boy, the Lord Jesus Christ had to come from home, and he had to come by himself to purchase this flock. The shepherd lives a Spartan life. You ever notice that they don't have a lot of nightlife and a lot of restaurants and all that out there where the shepherds are? Shepherd has to take his food with him, drink out of the stream, and sleep beside dirty, stinking sheep all the time. It's a pretty Spartan life. There's nothing glamorous about it. There's nothing luxurious about it. They don't have all the amenities and all the nice things of the world. The shepherd lives a very simple, simple life. Listen, when Jesus Christ came to purchase the church, he had to leave all the glory of heaven behind. Came down to a little town called Bethlehem. Lived in a little nation called Israel. Walked up and down dusty roads with sandals on his feet. God Almighty, incarnate in a body. God, manifest in the flesh, living down here in a very Spartan way. No pomp and no ceremony. Not hailed as God, but hailed as a carpenter's son. Gave it all up to be a shepherd. Not only that, sometimes the shepherd must do difficult things for the sheep. Being a shepherd is not always an easy thing. You know, sheep get sick. They get parasites and they get diseases and all kind of things. And the shepherd, no matter what gets wrong with the sheep, you know, has to fix it. It's the shepherd. Now, I understand that the sheep, their nose is moist and a lot of mucus in it, and they get infections from flies and insects that lay their eggs in their nostrils or around their mouth. And they get infested with those things. And the shepherd has to go down there and clean that mess out and put medication on it and get it fixed up. Does that sound disgusting or what? Does it? Well, I've never had it in my head, oh, let me pull your nostrils out. Let me grab that gob. I mean, it's disgusting. Something we'd rather not talk about and rather not think about. We all want to, you know, especially in America, in the TVs and the movies and the media and that kind of stuff, we only want to present one side of life, the fun side. Amen? They don't show you all the car wrecks and all the broken bodies from liquor. They don't show you the battered and bruised wives and children and the lost job because of alcohol. They only show you one side where it looks good. Amen? They don't show you the syphilis and the AIDS and the gonorrhea and the chlamydia and the herpes and all the rest of that from a promiscuous lifestyle. All they show you is how glamorous it is to be cool and be sexy. See? They only paint one side of it because the other side's ugly. and nasty and loathsome, and nobody wants to mess with it. But when it happens, it has to be dealt with. And when the sheep get sick, when the sheep get hurt, when the sheep get wounded, the shepherd has to do some hard things, some unpleasant things. But Jesus Christ is willing and able to do what's necessary. I wish some parents would learn that. They can't raise their children right because they won't do what's hard. If it's not fun, if it's not pleasant, if it's not popular, they're not going to do it. They're going to raise a bunch of rotten little brats because they gave in to them and they wouldn't do the hard thing. I'm telling you, God loves us, so God does some of the hard things. When you get your life in a mess, when you get into sin, when you get out of fellowship, God will do whatever is necessary to get you back. I'm glad He's my shepherd. I love the way that Psalm start. The Lord is my shepherd. They said a little colored girl said that one time in church, and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." And they stopped her and was going to rebuke her because that's not what it says. The pastor grabbed the deacon's hand and stopped him. He said, "Leave her alone. I like that. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." Listen, if you got the shepherd, you got all you need. Amen. Now, let's take care of the shepherd. Let's think about the sheep for a minute. You're a sheep, aren't you? Let me hear a big baa. I'm a sheep. There are some things the sheep know. Number one, the sheep know their shepherd. Amen? They know their shepherd. I worry about folks that don't know who it is they're following. They can't make up whether they're into Zen Buddhism or Christianity or the New Age movement, or, you know, they got all kind of literature and they got all kind of beliefs. And listen, they don't have a shepherd, they got a menagerie. Amen. If you're a Christian, if you're saved by God's grace, you got one shepherd. I'm not reading the Shastas and the Vedas and the Koran and the Targums and all that other stuff. I got a Bible. Amen. I don't have a dead and buried prophet. I got a risen, resurrected Lord. Amen. I know my shepherd. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know who my shepherd is. I'm saved by grace. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Amen. I ain't got nothing to do with Hare Krishna or Buddha or anybody else. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's good. You need to find out who it is you're following. And if you're following Jesus Christ, if He's your shepherd, quit listening to all them other voices. Amen. The sheep know their shepherd. Not only that, the sheep know His voice. Amen. They recognize His word. The word. How does God speak to us today? Well, we got a Bible. I hear all these preachers all the time saying, "Well, I was doing this, that, and the other, and the Lord spoke to me and said." You know, I've been saved a right good while now. I've been preaching 30 years. And I have never heard a voice say, "Bob, do this." I've never had God speak to me like Kenneth Copeland or Benny Hinn or any of the rest of them fakers. I'm being nice. I didn't say that about them. I may have thought that about them, but I didn't say it because I'm being nice. That phony, bony, baloney bunch, I'm telling you what, God said this and God said that and God took me here and God showed me that and God put me in the back seat of this. I don't believe that nonsense. I'm saved by God's grace. I'm filled with God's Holy Spirit. I try my dead level best to live right and preach right, and I never heard God do that. But I know His voice. Pick that King James Bible up and start to read that thing, and the Holy Spirit of God will speak in my heart. He'll take that voice, the Word of God, and cut me to ribbons. Show me my sin. Give me leadership and direction and guidance on where I ought to go and how I ought to do it. I'm telling you, I know the voice of my shepherd. I've been reading it for 30 years. I've been all through it from cover to cover over 100 times. I know that book. I know what God sounds like. I know when somebody says God said this or God said that, that it ain't God because it don't sound like Him. Amen. Amen. We was in a singing last night and this moron group got up and sang this stupid song about some kind of dance thing. I quit listening. I take my notebook to the singings because a lot of it I can't listen to. And so I was, after they started and I heard what it was, I just quit listening. I started writing. You got to learn to do that, brother. See? You didn't have a notebook, so you had to listen. You got offended. See? They started singing about this song and the dance, and I can't remember the lyrics. I mean, it's just stupid stuff, you know. Just, and everybody out there, except that little group on our row, it was all amen. They was all standing up and clapping and having a good old time. And I thought, they don't know the voice of their shepherd. That ain't God. That ain't Bible. That's not Christianity. That's the world. That's the world. The sheep know the voice. Man, I got to hurry. I ain't nowhere near free. The sheep follow him. Amen. Now, if you're a sheep, a real sheep of his flock, you follow your shepherd. You know him, you know his voice, and you go where he goes. Amen. It's like over, they said this fellow was in Palestine, you know, and said, there was a bunch of sheep coming down the road there, and there was a fellow behind him with a little old stick doing this, you know, and the sheep were going down the road. And this guy's on the bus. He's a tourist, and he told him, stop the bus. They stopped the bus, and the guy jumped out and ran around there and said, hey, wait a minute, buddy. The sheep follow the shepherd. They know him. They know his voice. And where he goes, they go. You can tell whether somebody's a real sheep or not by who they're following. Amen. And if they run around to every strange doctrine, if they're moved by every wind that blows, I'd be careful about calling them a sheep. The sheep follow him. The sheep will not follow a stranger. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. That Bible said, try the spirit from any false prophets and entering into the world. The sheep follow Jesus Christ. He said, they search the scripture daily to see if these things were so. God's people are to spend some time reading that Bible, studying that Bible, and seeking God's face so they can follow the Lord, follow the shepherd. Amen? We don't need to be following everybody coming down the pike. And boy, there's all kind of strange voices out there today. You better know the voice of your shepherd or you get led astray. Not only do the sheep know, there are some things that the sheep need. The sheep need green pasture. Why do they need green pasture? Because they need to eat. They need to be fed. Now, you can take an old goat and run him into a field, and he can get a three-course meal where a sheep can't get a snack. Their mouths aren't made the same. Their teeth aren't made the same. And then sheep can't get down into the dirt and get the roots and all and the real low stuff like an old goat can. The grass has got to be up a little bit. There's got to be some blade there for a sheep to get a meal. So you got to take sheep to green pasture. Amen. Sheep need to be fed. That is, there ought to be something being said. There ought to be something being taught down where you go to church. If it's the same little old sermonette for the same little old Christianettes who smoke their little cigarettes and watch their TV set, you need to find another place to go. You need a church where you can get your soul fed. You need green pastures. There ought to be some Bible teaching, some expounding of the Word of God. There ought to be some depth and some breadth to what goes on in the church where you attend. The sheep need green pastures. Not only do they need green pastures, they need still water. Man, you go a lot of places, and the only thing that's going on is fussing and fighting. You got this little clique and that little clique. The deacons are against the preacher, and they've got their little following, and the preacher's got his little group, and the chairman of the board of deacons has got his little thing, and the trustees have got their little thing, and all the Sunday school teachers are up in arms against all the deacons, and it's a hellhole. It's just a fight. It's just bickering and fussing. And then somebody try to get up and preach and have the power of God in that place. God ain't there. Ain't nothing wrote Ichabod over the door. The glory has departed. The sheep need still water. Need a quiet place. Amen. Now some folks don't agree with how we do it here. That's perfectly fine with me. They do it any way they want to. But I tell you what we've got in this church. We've got still water. You know there's not King James Baptist Church? So when I preach, how do you know that? Because there's only one authority in King James Baptist Church. You know what our deacons have the authority to do? Nothing! You know who makes every decision? Who is responsible for everything? Who appoints everybody? Tells them when they can, when they can't, how far they can go? Aggravates some of them. But I'll tell you what we don't have. We don't have a lot of bickering and fussing and carrying on. Amen. Yeah, this little group doesn't have power and this little group's not in prominence and you can't play this one against that because they ain't here. You know what we got? We got still water. If you want anything, if you want to know anything, if you want to know about anything, you got to come to the shepherd. Amen. Well, I don't think that's the way it ought to be. I don't care what you think. I don't give a flip what you think. It's worked for 30 years. Never been a fight, never been a split, never had turmoil. Amen. Now run a few folks off, but... Amen. The sheep needs still water. The sheep need rest. He said, it restoreth my soul. Bless God, we major on sin and living right here. I preach on it all the time, all the time, all the time. You ought to do this, you ought to do this, and you ought not to do that. But sheep need some rest. And every now and then, you just need a good message so the sheep can just rejoice in their salvation. Thank God they're saved by God's grace. And just have a good old time and say, I'm thankful I know my shepherd. I'm thankful I'm a sheep. I'm thankful for the green pastures and the still water. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad I go to King James Baptist Church. I'm glad I'm on my way home to glory. Just have a good old time in God. Amen. It won't hurt you. Some of y'all need to lose your dignity. Amen. Some of y'all, if you shout and say amen, your heart would crumble right where it's at and turn to dust. Amen. Some of you don't dare smile because you don't want to break ancient China. I'm telling you, being saved is a joyous experience. If you're saved and you know it, if you know who your shepherd is, if you know him and he knows you, and you know that he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, that he'll protect you and watch over you, you ought to be singing and shouting.
But I don't think you ought to be so animated, and I don't think you ought to be so loud.
That's why we didn't ask you how to preach. Because you're the same one that'll go to some basketball game, some football game, some NASCAR event. Nobody shouts at golf, thank you. Somebody said one time, golf is 5 minutes of action packed into 4.5 hours. But we go to all them sporting events and hoop and holler and carry on. And you come down here to the church of God where we're saved by God's grace and on our way to glory. We can look over the battlements into the pit of the damned and know that we're never going to set foot in the flame and we can't get excited about that. There's something wrong. There is something wrong with a Christianity that cannot get excited about what God Almighty has done for us.
I'm not through. Number five.
We have the sheep and what they know. We have the sheep and what they need. We have the sheep and their condition. First of all, we have the lost sheep, or what we call the black sheep. Now, we're not talking about lost in the sense of the unsaved. We're talking about God's sheep here this morning. We're talking about people who are saved, but lost. So we don't mean lost as far as salvation is concerned, but we mean lost to the fellowship. Lost to the cause of Christ. They're not here this morning. We have folks in this congregation who are members of this church, and they're not here today. And they haven't been here for a while. Why? They're lost to our fellowship. They're lost to the flock. Some of them are out in sin. Some of them are lost to the cause of Christ altogether. Now, I'm not talking about the folks who are sick and not here this morning. Don't get your feathers all ruffled. Well, go ahead. It'd be the first time I've seen a response from somebody in a while. I'm talking about the folks who haven't been here for a while and who are not here because they're not in fellowship with God anymore, and they're not interested in church anymore, and they're back out in the world, and they're back out in sin. They're lost to the cause of Jesus Christ. They're lost to the fellowship. Every family, they say, has a black sheep. Well, the family of God has some black sheep. Oh, some of them are saved. I really believe that. I believe that. I believe they're saved by God's grace. But they're lost to the cause of Christ. They're lost as far as doing anything for Jesus Christ. They're lost to the fellowship of the church. Then, not only we have the lost sheep, we have the white sheep. That is, the ones that are saved and living right. Now, they're not white sheep because of their own righteousness. It's not by works of righteousness we have done, but by His mercy hath He saved us. When you got saved, God imputed to you the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so if you've been made whiter than snow today, it's not because you're clean. It's not because you're holy. It's not because you're righteous. It's because the shepherd cleans you up. Amen. I once was lost in sin. That's my standing. That's my nature. That's where I came from. But Jesus found me and took me in. So we have the lost sheep and the white sheep. Then we have the wandering sheep. Those are the ones who are going astray. You know, you never get lost until you first wander off. You ever think about that? Getting lost doesn't happen just like that. You got to get away from the flock. Wander away somewhere. And then you wander around, and then you try to find out where you're at. And pretty soon, you don't know where you're at. You're lost. But it started by wandering. You know what the Church of Jesus Christ needs to do? We need to keep our eyes out for wandering sheep. When folks get to where they start missing, and where they quit singing, and where they quit participating, where they don't enjoy the fellowship anymore, when they can miss and not feel bad about it, we need to know that and take that into account and do what we can to bring the wandering sheep back. Somebody misses a couple of Sundays in a row, some of you spirit-filled saints of God ought to get on the telephone and give them a call and say, "Brother or sister, we missed you. Is there anything wrong? Is there anything we can do? Can we help you? Maybe crank up that old jalopy you were, and drop by their house." Amen. And just say, "I want to stop by and make sure everything was all right. Hadn't seen you in a while. Just want you to know the Church of Jesus Christ missed you last Sunday." If we could catch them when they're wandering, they wouldn't have to get lost. Not only do we have the wandering sheep, you have the dirty sheep. That's sheep who have gotten back into sin. Jesus washed you whiter than snow. But some sheep can't stay out of mud. Old habits die hard. We've got saints that have made a mess of their Christianity, made a mess of their Christian life. But they're saints. You know, a dirty sheep is still a sheep. Amen. We ought to love that sheep. We ought to clean that sheep up. We don't want him dirty. We want him. We want him clean. Amen. The job of the shepherd is to clean the sheep. I said, listen up, it's the job of the shepherd to clean the sheep. Sheep don't clean sheep. Amen. Somebody needs help. Somebody needs attention. You pray for them. You bring it to the pastor's attention. But the fella to take care of getting them cleaned up is the shepherd. Amen. We don't need everybody in the church trying to clean everybody else in the church up. Cause a lot of hard feelings and a lot of misunderstanding, make a lot of folks mad and run a lot of folks off. Amen.
Last but not least, there's the carriage. If you and I, what we're supposed to be, if I'm the kind of under-shepherd I'm supposed to be, you're the kind of sheep you ought to be, and you see folks going astray, and we pray for them, intercede to God for them, beseech the throne of God for them, the shepherd picks them up, and the shepherd carries them back. There are a couple of folks in our church that I'm worried about. I can fix them. I've done all I know how to do for them. Talk to them. Try to work with them. I don't know anything else to do. Thank God we have a shepherd who can. We pray and seek God's face and intercede one for another. Our shepherd. I'm thankful. I'm a sheep. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. Nothing I said made any sense to you. Just a lot of hollering, a lot of foolishness. You don't know the shepherd. And the shepherd doesn't know you. You could know him. The greatest day of any man's life is the day he comes to know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. It's the day when you're going from being in the Bible, people are compared to pigs and dogs. The day you become a sheep, the greatest day of your life. You weren't born a sheep. You have to be born again. But today is the day of salvation. If you harden not your heart, now is the accepted time. God not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If Jesus Christ is not your shepherd, he wants to be, he's willing to be, and he can be if you come to him. All that come unto him shall in no wise be cast out. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. My burden is easy, my yoke is light, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Lord, come today. Get born again on the sheep and put in the shepherd's flock. Your protection, lead it, keep it. Never forsake it. Nothing in the world, nothing in the world by being saved by God's grace. Father, we thank you now for your goodness and your mercy. And I pray, Lord, if there's